Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches, but are they real or are they plastic? This is Issues of the Environment on WEMU. I'm Clark Smith, and joining us this week is Dr. Bert Craig. Dr. Craig is an associate professor of horticulture and forestry at Michigan State University. He's a conifer expert with a special focus on Christmas trees, and he's here to help explain what's the right green thing to do this time of year, get a real tree or an artificial tree. Good morning, Dr. Craig.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Well, artificial Christmas trees have come a long way since the aluminum tree I remember way back at my uncle's house when I was a kid. Had a color wheel shining on it and was supposed to be cool. I didn't think it looked that good. Many of today's artificial trees look very real. They're easy to put up and take down. You can buy them with lights already on. That's really convenient. So I'll start with the premise that artificial trees might actually be greener, the greener choice, because they're reusable. And by purchasing an artificial tree, that saves a real tree that would otherwise be cut down and eventually destroyed. Is that right?
Well, you know, there's different ways of looking at it. Part of the issue is when you look at the artificial tree, you have to remember now this is manufactured out of polyvinyl chloride plastic. Typically, it's going to be made in China, both the components as well as the tree itself. So you have, you know, the issue of, you know, what's going on in the manufacturing, potential environmental pollutants that are generated, as well as, of course, carbon footprint of getting that tree from China across the ocean over here to the U.S. The other thing is, how long do people actually keep their artificial tree? If you're keeping it for 20 years, then, yeah, some of these things do tend to even out, at least in terms of some of the carbon footprint.
Well, I just had to actually get rid of an artificial tree because it finally just gave up. It didn't look too bad after about 10 years, but all the lights went out, and trying to, you know, replace those one by one and getting nowhere became pretty frustrating. So now I have another one, and I was thinking about one of the reasons that we ended up getting an artificial tree in our family. It was it wasn't as attractive to the pets, in particular the cats.
Yeah, that can be an issue, certainly for some trees. Oftentimes when people have that issue of pets or children trying to get into the Christmas tree, one of the things we recommend is the Colorado blue spruce. That's actually a tree that is pretty popular as a Christmas tree, at least here in Michigan. The downside for some of us that have to handle them is they're pretty prickly.
Yeah.
So when you put them up, you know, we usually recommend gloves, long sleeve shirt, and all that. But I've known several people that have, you know, told me that, you know, it's kept their puppy out of the tree or whoever they were trying to keep out of it. So that's certainly another way of approaching that dilemma.
I want to mention, too, some economic aspects of this. Obviously, if there's a manufacturing plant that's making artificial trees, there are some, you know, cost benefits for whatever company is doing that. But where I grew up in a little place called Newaygo, Michigan, that place was surrounded by Christmas tree farms, acres and acres and acres of Christmas trees. So there's some economic benefit there as well. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at Michigan, of course, Michigan ranks third in the country in terms of Christmas tree production, about $40 million each year just in the direct wholesale value of the Christmas tree market here in Michigan. Then you can look at whatever multiplier effects in terms of how that, you know, impacts the overall economy. So it definitely is a local impact. And when you think about, you know, buying locally and understanding where, you know, the products we're using are coming from, certainly when you get down to things like going to a choose and cut farm, you know exactly where that tree has come from. And also in terms of having a tree that's going to be fresh and going to last a long time in the holidays, that's a good way to approach it. You know, back to the environmental question, because I get this one a lot, you know, what's greener, the artificial tree or the real tree? And there's actually been quite a bit of work done on this, at least two fairly exhaustive, what we call life cycle analysis studies that have been done. So life cycle analysis is looking at kind of a cradle-to-grave analysis of carbon footprint, various environmental impacts. And one of the studies actually was commissioned by what's called the American Christmas Tree Association, which sounds like it ought to be a group of growers, but actually it's a group that represents the artificial Christmas tree manufacturers.
Okay.
The National Christmas Tree Association is the growers, but this American Christmas Tree Association is actually a trade group for the artificial Christmas tree industry. And they commissioned one of these life cycle analyses. And basically what it came down to is, it's almost a wash. Both of them really have relatively little impact. And in fact, what the sort of tipping point is boils down to how long you would keep an artificial tree. If you're going to keep it more than 10 years, it starts to look better. And then how far you have to drive to get your real tree. So, you know, the what goes into the manufacturing goes into the growing of the trees, the carbon's taken up by the trees, all of that tends to kind of even out. And really what becomes the driving factor in at least the carbon footprint of it is just how far you have to go to get your real tree. And now if you combine getting your real tree in with another trip that you would have taken anyway, then that's off the board. So, you know, really, I think when people are looking at it, the environmental impact is relatively minimal. I think it gets back to, you know, the final decision gets back to some of these other factors that we've talked about, you know, buying locally, you know, helping out your local economy, supporting local growers. And then on the other side are things like, you know, the convenience factor. Yeah, there are some things that are going to be more convenient with an artificial tree.
So it could come down to really personal choice, too.
Yeah, and so much of Christmas and Christmas trees boils down to tradition. So I had a German mother. We always had a real tree. I will probably always have a real tree, and that's just what I grew up with, and that's what says Christmas, you know, in our house. And, you know, and so that's a lot of what drives people is the tradition. For some people, over time, it may be the issue of, you know, having to set up or bring in a real tree and all of that. And, you know, I understand that is an issue for some people. But I think for most folks, at least here in Michigan, the real tree is still a way to go.
Is one kind really better than another?
Well, you know, again, it's down to personal choice. You know, we mentioned the thing of, you know, some people like the blue spruce, both for the blue color and as well as, you know, trying to keep pets or kids that you don't want into the tree. Fraser firs become very popular here in Michigan over recent years, in large part because it has great color, great form, and great needle retention. That's probably one of the things that I think drives some people away from the real tree is some of the mess, you know, the trees dropping needles and so forth, whereas Fraser has, you know, just absolutely great needle retention, and as long as you keep water to that tree, you could keep it up for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks if you want to, you know, start early right at Thanksgiving and keep it on through till New Year's. You shouldn't have a problem.
And finally, because we're just about running out of time, one of the problems becomes, what do you do when the holiday's over and you have to dispose of the
tree? Yeah, and that's another issue in terms of the environmental footprint, what you do with it. Certainly, you think about the tree as, you know, fixed carbon during its lifetime, but if you throw it on the burn pile, you know, poof, that carbon's all back in the air. Certainly, most places now have recycling programs where the trees are ground into mulch and you can use that. I know there are some innovative programs around the country. I just saw a YouTube video of a program in Wisconsin where they take the trees out into a frozen lake and tie cinder blocks to them, and then when the ice melts, the trees drop. They're bundled together, the trees drop in the lake, and then it becomes a habitat below for small fry fish.
And a great place to get your hook caught on when you fish.
Well, I guess if you're after the big one, you got to take that chance.
But something certainly to keep in mind is you have a real Christmas tree this season. Dr. Bert Craig is an associate professor of horticulture and forestry at Michigan State University. He's a conifer expert with a special focus on Christmas trees. Thank you for joining us for this week's Issues of the Environment, and happy holidays.
You too. Thanks.